The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, I was dancing, Habibi, in my office over here.
great music, great energy this morning. Right, lots to cover on the Israel Report, but let's start off with Cyril.
Oi, Cyril. I mean, if ever there was a facepalm moment, this was Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday. And President Ramaphosa, if you're listening, what were you thinking?
Indeed.
So should we put everybody out of their misery and tell them what we're talking about?
Yes, indeed. Go with it. Go for it, Ronnie.
Well, yesterday, and this has been reported by Reuters and made the front page of the Jerusalem Post, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa blamed NATO for the war in Ukraine and said he would resist calls to condemn Russia. And what I find extraordinary in his comment, and I'll go on to read them in a minute. First of all, let's unpack the comments about NATO. He says the war could have been avoided if NATO had heeded the warnings from amongst its own leaders and officials over the years that its eastward expansion would lead to greater, not less, instability in the region. I don't know how the last time I looked, it was Russia who was the aggressor invading Ukraine under the pretense that it told its military it was doing special operations. I don't know, maybe I'm misinterpreting history.
But what is so amazing is the different way that they're choosing to look at it. And of course, the question is, why is this relevant to the Israel report? Well, the South African government's relationship with Israel and very quick condemnation of Israel is so glaring in the difference in the way it's treating this conflict and this war in Europe.
Well, absolutely. So let's look at the comments made by President Ramaphosa, which really, you know, made my hair stand on end. He says, there are those who are insisting that we should take a very adversarial stance against Russia. The approach we are going to take instead is insisting that there should be dialogue. Screaming and shouting is not going to bring an end to this conflict. Now, that really raised my hackles, because when it comes to Israel and the Palestinians, there is absolutely no balance coming from the South African government. In fact, it is so glaringly partisan that, you know, when it comes to South Africa playing any kind of meaningful role in the Middle East, that has gone out the window. When one of your sole priorities of your foreign policy for 2022 is getting Israel's observer status revoked at the African Union, Houston, we have a problem. And he goes on to say that South Africa has been approached to be a mediator. I mean, that is absolutely, he won't say by who. He says, we never want to pretend we have a great influence that other countries have, but we are being approached to condemn one side. That forecloses the role we could play. I don't know if he is actually listening to himself, Howard, because I want to send him a tweet, a text, a meme, a pigeon that says to him, you are saying these things, but when it comes to Israel and the Palestinians, you are so glaringly biased that you've actually diminished any role that you could play anyway in the world with regards to mediation.
You mentioned earlier that this is now front page news, Reuters, Jerusalem Post, really around the world. What's been the reaction from the rest of the world, including Israel, to these statements?
Well, the reaction has been that, you know, this is pretty preposterous coming from South Africa. You know, South Africa, its transition into democracy in 1994 was such a time of celebration. It was such a benchmark that was set for conflict resolution. But South Africa really over the decades has become quite feckless, and that its failure to condemn Russia, that this kind of a neutral stance is not going to work. You know, Putin has made himself more than toxic. in the world, and to not take a firm stance against Russia is to be seen as almost siding with dictatorial and hegemonic regimes, and at a time when the whole world has basically sided against Russia, except for a few, and those are notable dictatorships, it really does not look good for South Africa.
No, it most certainly doesn't. All right, let's talk about Operation, which does look good, Operation Shining Star. What is that?
Well, we now have an official name. You know, it's never official, Howard, unless we have an operational name.
Facebook but official.
This is the name that is being given to Israel's building of our field hospital in Western Ukraine. And we've spoken about it a little bit. And over the last 24 hours, we have some more information coming out about that. So we now know that Israel has been working in cooperation with Ukraine and Russia to build this field hospital. And I think it's the only one. I mean, I don't hear of any other countries bringing field hospitals the level of humanitarian assistance and care that Israel is bringing. I mean, posted on the border literally from the beginning days of this war were United Hatzalah, as well as a contingent from Zaka going, Israel Aid going. You know, Israel Aid is extraordinary. Whenever there are humanitarian disasters of any kind, be they through natural disasters or through a wartime scenario, Israel Aid dispatches its team, not just to give medical assistance, but also very important, and that we're not talking about at the moment, is the PTSD. They've also created safe spaces for mommies and their babies. And I think after watching the brutal bombing of the maternity hospital last week, there is another level of appreciation for this. Israel's diplomats being stationed all along the border. We have also now sent a dispatch of Ukrainian and Russian-speaking police to assist with Ukrainians trying to evacuate and come to Israel. Some criticism that we were letting in members of the Jewish community. We are also letting in Ukrainians who aren't Jewish, and we have seen an uptick in the amount of Russians applying for Aliyah. We can't forget that the reason Israel is taking such a measured response is we have massive Jewish communities in Ukraine and Russia, as well as massive Ukrainian and Russian communities in Israel. But it is the Kochav Meir, the field hospital named for Kiev-born Golda Meir, our first female prime minister, that is really an absolute shining star. And there's no two ways about it. Yesterday, just watching the footage coming in from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of that aid being loaded onto those planes to the field hospital, which will be operational this week. 80 medical personnel, doctors, nurses dispatched from Sheba Medical Center who will be on site. The creation of specific wards that will look after the specific needs of evacuees and the state of the art technology that is being shipped. And this is coming from Israel's Ministry of Health, sending this while we are still dealing with the global pandemic, funded by Israeli taxpayers. Just an absolute astounding effort by Israel. And also, I can't forget Magen David Adom sending several armored ambulances, watching those being loaded onto planes as well, sent to Ukraine. And yesterday, we know that the 6 massive generators that we sent to hospitals in the city of Lviv, which I've just got news flash coming in a little while ago, is taking several hits, including very close to the airport, has been nothing less than astounding from Israel.
Absolutely incredible. On that note, Zelensky is to address the Knesset. When is this happening?
at 6 p.m. on Sunday, an appeal from Zelensky, who very movingly addressed the U.S. Congress. I think, what day are we today? That it was Wednesday, and I don't think anyone watched or listened to that speech without being moved, especially when he showed the visuals. I mean, I noticed Howard CNN apologizing for Zelensky's visuals. They might be offensive. Well, war is offensive.
War is a bit offensive. Look, in truth, I was a little cynical in that the music that they used, I thought, was a little produced. So I thought it should have... He could have been a little bit more subtle on that. I didn't think that he needed the extra effects. I think the visuals were damning enough.
Well, I think also one thing that we can learn from President Zelensky is that subtlety is not something that he does. He's very aware of the power of his optics, of his words. You know, people said to me, but his speech was very American on Wednesday. Well, of course, he's addressing Congress, so he is going to bring in 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Yesterday, he addressed the Bundestag in Germany, speaking about the hollowness of the words never again. You know, God bless him, he's the master of Jewish guilt, Howard. And I would wager that on Sunday we are going to hear language that, and this is my personal opinion, and of course we can pick it up again next week. He's going to invoke Babyn Yar, the biggest mass grave in Europe for Jews. He's going to probably invoke his Jewishness, appeal to the sense of responsibility. The words never again, I'm sure, will come up. He will use a lot of Holocaust imagery. And I also think, Howard, he is going to liken, and he has in the past, Israel's fight against multiple Arab armies and our fight for survival and our fight to protect our sovereignty and our land in numerous wars. I think he is going to appeal to Israel's Knesset to back him on that. Now, the Knesset is not sitting in session at the moment, so this will be done in a Zoom meeting. The Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister will be in attendance. They want to make sure as many lawmakers will be there as possible. There are fears that because the Knesset is not sitting, that not as many lawmakers will be present. Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Goldar has offered to broadcast it on a big screen at the Habima Theatre for members of the public. We also know the Russian ambassador approached our Speaker of the Knesset, Mickey Levy, to appeal for time as well, saying that, you know, Israel needs to hear the Russian side. And I think, Howard, this is where we see Israel's very delicate position as a mediator come in. You know, you can't be a mediator if you listen to one side and not the other, will be the Russian perspective. But no word yet what Mickey Levy's response to the Russian ambassador was.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult position. Absolutely impossible and impossibly difficult. Gimple says, I love Zelensky. I'm anti-Russian invasion, but I'm more of a Jewish hero than he is because my children are Jewish. Ouch. That's according to Gimple. I guess saying it like he thinks it is, and that's absolutely perfect. So that is going to happen next week, and that's going to be it will hopefully be broadcast in many places, and we'll be able to have a look and analyze that. Before I let you go, 10 more congressmen, women, and everybody else take issues not just with Paul O'Brien's comments, but the report as well. We were talking about this earlier in the week as well.
Well, this is just extraordinary, and I think that this is a big smack for Amnesty International and their credibility. So we spoke about the 25 Jewish members of Congress. We now have 10 members of Congress bipartisan, because the 25 members of Congress weren't bipartisan. They were all Democrats, very important to note. But this is bipartisan. They have written to Amnesty International Secretary General Agnew Callamard, and they've said, Mr. O'Brien's comments coupled with Amnesty International's report released last month, appear to be part of Amnesty International's continued dangerous degree of bias and denial of Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. Amnesty International cannot credibly advance human rights around the globe while simultaneously denying the only Jewish state their right to self-determination. Pretty harsh. Now, yesterday, Secretary of State Blinken tweeted out that he had a chat with human rights defenders Paul O'Brien, Agnes Callamard, and my dear friend and yours, Kenny Roth of Human Rights Watch. Well, Howard, as you can imagine, he was ratioed from J-Twitter saying, how can you speak to these people who then deny Jewish sovereignty?
Yeah, then that's absolutely fascinating. That is where we leave it. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.